Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best, Best in Show.
Welcome!
Start the show this week by just doing my favorite sound parts of the thing with my mouth. You like that?
Those are the animals of the jungle.
All right.
Winding him up.
Doo doo doo.
Had that been a real song.
Doo doo doo. Doo 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 doo. Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to Best of Show. Hey, what's going on here?
I wish so bad I had a cape right now.
Where'd I put it? Wasn't the old whole gimmick behind this like we would do the regular intro and then this would interrupt the old intro?
No, it was right afterwards.
But we would talk about it first, because here is 100K.
Thanks.
I mean, here is Cal. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, exclusively on tpxradio.com. Wait, what are you going to say for me?
It's only forever.
What's up, everybody? Good morning. Welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, exclusively on tpxradio.com, where you can get us on the hotline, 877-744-6405. You can get us on the instant messenger at Best in Show Chris or Best in Show Keith, respectively. Or you can go to join us in the chat room by going over to tpxradio.com, clicking on chat, or going to bestinshowradio.com, clicking on contact, and clicking on chat. My name is Chris.
You can introduce me.
His name is... It's just Keith. I'm not even going to bother with the silliness. I was about to say 100 Cal K Kevin. Again, I have this issue today that I'm thinking things in my head, and I'm assuming everyone in the world hears my thoughts.
Let me share with everyone how you just said took off your headphones and literally said to me, what was I just curious about?
And it's true. It really is true. And what I was curious about was Stick Cam. I wanted to know if we were on the front page of stickcam.com, and apparently today we are not.
I thought it was boys.
Well, I'm like bi curious. I don't know if I'm just on a boy curious. Here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. It's a special day. It's old school Best in Show. It's just your two buddies here. We got no one else here with us this week. It'll probably be a technical nightmare, and God only knows what'll happen here on the mystical wonderland known as Best in Show.
No, I don't think it'll be a technical nightmare.
What do you think? Because I'm just not going to do anything. I'm going to leave everything shut off, and it's just going to be our two mics talking like friends. Gentlemen.
I don't think we'll have any problems.
I hope not. So, we want to talk about having problems, so I'll shoot right off the bat with my biggest problem of the week. Yeah, let me move this computer screen over, and let me hand some things over to you. Keith?
Tito?
And see what you say. No, I'm not even going to talk about that here. What's that?
I don't know. This looks to be... like a legal, mind you, $50 bet.
A bettor's ticket?
A ticket describing a $50 bet.
Who doesn't describe it?
Let me say it's representing.
I think it's representative of
a $50 bet, an Independence Day bet, no less, from the 4th of July at the local off-track betting center. Looks like it looks like the owner of this ticket placed $50 on a horse. That's crazy.
Yeah. What's the $50 bet for that horse to do?
Place.
Oh yeah. How about this one here?
This looks like one to show.
For the same monetary value?
Right.
Yeah, you could probably stop talking about how much the numbers are now, as I tell you.
Should I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm not so sure that maybe my wife knows how much of this is actually.
She's listening, though, is she?
No, probably not, but someone might know. Okay, so you could say.
No, I won't say it. But everyone's going to be really mad at you now.
What? What are you talking about?
For not sharing.
$250 to win? Is that what's in
$250 to win. So it looks like we have 250 to win, 50 to place, 50 to show.
There you go.
Oh, here's another 250 to win. So it looks like somebody bet 500 for this horse to win. 50 to place and 50 to show. That's pretty crazy.
Somebody bet it. There may or may not be more tickets elsewhere in the house, and I'm not going to discuss them. I got a tip. You notice you still have those tickets in your hand because they were not. And what's the date on them? July 4th.
Yes.
Because they were not exchanged for all the cash that you get when you win. Here's the story. So I get a... I don't know why I'm keeping these, so I can cry.
In case they change the result.
By the way...
In case last suddenly means first.
Well, he didn't quite lose. He didn't quite lose, but... okay, well, here's the story. I got a call from my mother on, like, Tuesday or Monday saying, hey, Chris, you know, I got a tip on a horse. I have a cousin who I don't know if he even still is, or he was a jockey. He might still be a jockey, I don't know. And he got a tip on a horse. And every one of his short thing tips that he picks always win. And every time we all pick him and he wins. And I never do, because I don't bet on horses. So the lucky rabbit's foot that I am this time, I say, hey, you know what, all right, I'll get in. It's 30-1 odds this horse is going to win. So it's like, wait, 30-1 odds? If I throw $20 on this thing, I'm going to win $600. If I throw $100 on this thing, I'm going to win $3,000. Wait, so if I put $1,000 on this, I'll win $30,000. This is my mindset as I'm going through this thing. I'm like, all right, so I can actually buy a car out of this and do all this. And neglecting to remember the fact that the horse actually has to win and the tip has to be good. Veal Chop, our buddy, has been in and out of the room 3 times now. I'm afraid there's something wrong with the room, but that's another story for another day. So I'm looking at this horse and saying, all right, so, well, what am I going to do? I wind up betting probably about as much as I can comfortably, or not even comfortably, as much as I can lose without wanting to murder, you know, but to the point that it's actually hurting. The fact that that my big horse, Bally Mist, in the first race, the number 2 horse at Belmont on the 4th of July, finished 7th out of a field of 9 when I was expecting him to finish first.
Didn't you debate putting more, though?
I almost put $1,500 on the horse. I didn't put $1,500 down.
I understand you didn't, but I also remember you saying how you were thinking, and I won't say what you were debating putting down, but I also remember you thinking, I could win $90,000.
Well, if I put $3,000 down on the horse, yeah, I would have won $90,000. By the way, VL Chop in the chat room, he's back again, is like asking if I got the tip from the Staten Island Advance. Hey, it's
Advance.
I prefer Advance. the crazy thing is, so I didn't tell a lot of people about this because I didn't know if it was going to be good. And then if I would have won, everyone would have been mad at me. Also, I lost. So now you guys don't have to be mad that I didn't share the tip with you. Because the thing is, I shared the tip with a couple, very few people. Because I just didn't want to be responsible for you guys losing money if it did fall through and you would have lost money. Yeah, it was originally 30-1.
Let me just talk about the last message on my answering machine.
before
you, I my phone rings early in the morning and
he looked at the caller ID, saw it was me, and said whatever, and threw the phone at the wall.
I hear my phone ring, and I went back to sleep, and I never thought about it again. Then I play my messages.
For the record, people like you make me insane. What? People who have cellular phones that are supposed to be with them at all times so you can get them when you need them, that ignore them all the effing time. I would say 1 out of every 20 calls you answer.
Well, I was ignoring the house phone.
I called your cell phone too, and you ignored that.
Yeah, well, it was probably charging or something, or not next to me.
Yeah, I hate that.
Or I was ignoring it.
Yeah, I hate that. Oh, I hate that you never answer your cell phone.
So I play my messages later on in the day, and there's a message from now. My answering machine is crazy. It sounds like echo. It's so echoey that I can't even hear what anyone's saying. I can tell it's you, but that's all I can tell. And then there's a follow up message which isn't as echoey, and it's you saying you're gonna kick yourself that you didn't call me back. So I called you, and I called him, and I'm telling you the story only. I don't want nobody else listen.
Okay, shh, be quiet. Oh, no, they don't have to be quiet. Just don't listen.
So I called him, and at this point, I said something like, did you call me yesterday?
Right.
But regardless, it was 6 minutes from
post time, I believe my ridiculous thing is, hey, man, you missed the boat.
Yeah. And had I seen you put a large amount of money on a horse, I don't know what I had in my bank account at the time, but it's probably it's a pretty good chance I would have cleared it out. Granted, it was probably only a couple $100, but I still would have probably cleared it out.
Because somehow I'm the horse racing, I'm the horse betting aficionado that you should be following the lead of, obviously.
I mean, you know what? You see somebody, you judge how reliable somebody's tip is by, you know,
willing to throw,
you know,
into it. Yeah, I threw.
Plus, I once got a tip on the Kentucky Derby a long time ago, and it won. So I figured.
I got a tip on an egg in the third. So I went with our buddy Chaz. Chaz the Dazzler actually came to OTB with me, and then we actually hung out at the bar next door having a couple of beers, and we watched. Mm-hmm. They actually have the closed circuit horse race right there. Thank God, but. And we sat there and we watched the horse, battle for first for 7/8 of the race, and then.
I turned the race on afterwards, and it came on pretty quick, and he took off out of the gate, and he was leading, and then he wasn't, but he was neck and neck for a while, right? Maybe 75% of the way.
So yeah, I'm saying even further. He was, like I said, he battled back and forth between first and second towards the very end of the race, and then.
Right when they came around the last. Around the final stretch.
Yeah, we know a lot about horses. Around the final furlong?
When they didn't turn anymore and it was only a straight line left.
Right. Then all of a sudden, everything gets crazy. By the way, Vanessa...
Edward Furlong?
Yes. Vanessa in the chat room, I don't even understand this tip on a horse thing. It's not like sports with two teams and someone has leaked that one team is going to throw the game. The variables in a horse race are far too many for anyone to have a reliable tip. I
you want to argue that point?
my injured bank account agrees with you.
That's the thing with, I mean, you can get a tip that, you know, bettors may not know about, like, you know, if the horse community really thinks this horse is going to win, it doesn't mean the horse isn't going to break its leg coming out of the gate.
Of course, there's nothing guaranteed, and the funniest part about it is, as much as it's saying, I mean Barbaro, thank God. That's in the chat room. No, the thing is, there's an issue with, yeah, I'm going to have a real problem with the bell being right in front of me that I'm going to hit it every 12 minutes and be so annoying. If it was like some inside tip that everyone thought I was going to do, the woman at the counter started laughing when I was betting on this two horse because everyone that came in was betting on the same two horse. It was the hot tip that everyone in the world knew about. And I watched the odds of the horse.
It was posted on MySpace.
Yeah, basically. Well, I did. I mean, I want everyone on my bulletin to know about my big tip. But, so the...
687 close friends.
Well, obviously. They're in my network.
That indie band from Vermont is so mad.
So I was told it was 30-1. I get there, it was the odds in the horse book race thing. I don't know what you'd call that, in the bill, in the ballot, in the
program guide. The
program guide, exactly. In the TV, in the horse TV guide.
Oh, that one, yeah.
It said 20-1. So I was like, "Whoa. If I bet this money, I'm really not going to win $90,000. I'm only going to win $60,000. This is pretty disappointing." I wasn't going in there betting $3,000. I'm just joking. But I say, all right, well, what am I going to do? I get to the counter. I place my bets, you know, and I come out, and then I stand next to our buddy, Chaz, and we look up at the tote board, I guess, or the arrivals departures board, where it has all the prices and whatnot. And the horse's odds have now changed from 20-1 to 3-2. So I'm only going to win half of what I just bet on the horse. if it goes this way. And for you know, talking to people after the fact, when odds change that dramatically before the race, the fix of your thing you're touching, it's making it crazy, is the fix is in. Like, people know that there's something going on. So it's just like, wait, should I be nervous at this point? It doesn't make a difference. I've already placed my bet. What am I going to do?
Well, it's disappointing, but as long as the horse wins, it's not that bad.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah, well, oh, this sucks that I'm only going to win this much money instead of this much money. Mm-hmm. By the time the race actually went off, sorry, I'm looking at a computer thing here. By the time the race actually started, it was back up to 5-1 odds. So I was like, all right, cool. I'll make a decent chunk of change with this thing. Yeah, this is all right. This is all right. I'm looking back, like I said, at Chad's like, yeah, we'll make decent money on this. And he's like, yeah, if the horse wins. I'm just like, oh, no, it's got to win. And as I said, he wound up finishing 7th out of a field of 9.
See, I was convinced that...
That's Ballymist. Ballymist, my favorite horse.
Isn't that a place in World of Warcraft?
Yeah, oh, God, I'm going to Ballymist later on tonight. There's a horde raid going on.
I was convinced that this horse was going to win, and then that we were going to be able to quit our jobs because you were going to be able to get a couple more tips like this, and we were going to be able to slowly bet $10,000 and
What's the... There's a Richard Dreyfuss movie like that. Like, Let It Ride, I think it's called.
Yes, Let It Ride.
And I really felt like Richard Dreyfuss, but at the very beginning of the movie, before he starts winning anything.
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, it's a terrific movie. It's on ESPN Classic, like, every 12 minutes.
Isn't Jennifer Tilly in it?
She most certainly is, and Terry Garr.
Oh, it's a Terry Garr film?
It's a Terry Garr vehicle. Yeah, it's a terrific, terrific movie. It's actually not a terrific movie, but there's something that's somewhat compelling about it, and I've enjoyed it.
It's a terrific, terrific movie.
By terrific, I mean horrible.
One of the best.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's...
According to Monty, the greatest movie ever.
It really is impossible to...
Problem.
No. Yeah, oh, by the way, on the back of my ticket here, I have a Gamblers Anonymous number for Monty in the chat room. It really is. It's one of those movies, though, that you can't turn off, even though it is kind of bad. There's something very compelling about the film, and I will call it a film because it is that. It's like that. It's not just a movie for me, and I enjoy it. I don't know. Well, Ballymist, thanks for ruining my life. I hope you're. I don't know. See, and then I got this whole thing. Like, did my cousin? Like, what is this? The gimmick behind betting on a horse? Does a horse get any sort of
cash?
Yeah, it must have been a pretty... Sorry, VL Trap in the chat. It must have been a pretty reliable source to drop that kind of money. How much did they lose? I've lost... Let's say I've lost in excess of $500. We'll leave it at that. I didn't empty my bank account. Like, it wasn't enough that I was just like, oh my God, how am I going to survive without it? But it was enough that I was bringing sandwiches from home to work this week instead of actually, you know, getting something else. he's asking how much my cousin lost.
If that balanced you out, you must eat a whole lot of takeout.
No, it didn't balance out at all. But I'll be bringing sandwiches in for the next couple of weeks at the very least. Yeah, no, I don't know how much my cousin lost. I have no idea. Here's the thing, my cousin, like, here's where I'm going with this thing.
No, but you said here's the thing before that.
Okay, here's where I'm going with this. Does a horse owner, jockey, or the horse itself, I guess, or trainer, get any money for garnering bets for people betting on it? Do they get like a thing for it?
You mean the more bets on it, do they get like a percentage?
Yeah. Do they get like a VIG?
No. I think that all goes to the track and to OTB.
There's no benefit.
Well, I mean, I guess some of it might be... No, I don't even think... I think the horse, the money they win, I don't think that has anything to do with the, you know, whatever was bet on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and apparently Vanessa's saying it doesn't work like that. Yes, VL Chop also asking in the chat room if that's the most I've ever lost gambling. Yes, I'm not a gambler. I'm not a gambler at all. I'm amateur. Very. I mean, I've lost probably a few thousand on Lotto over the years, but never in one sitting like that.
I think the most I ever bet was like $100 on a 3-team parlay and lost.
What?
Because the guy I was betting it with changed one of the teams.
See, but this is the thing. It's very easily becoming addictive. It's
betting?
It could be very easy. Because right after we lost, then, you know, Charlie and I are looking at the next race. Like, all right, how are we going to make this back? Everyone's sitting there and we're like, all right, well, this horse here is 50 to 1, so we'd only have to bet half of it to win our money back and still get the money after that. And there's like, wait, I don't know anything about horses. I'm just going to stop now. So instead, I just ordered some beers and nachos at the place next door and ate nachos.
What's the most you ever won gambling?
I'm not a gambler. I'm telling you, I'm not a gambler. I've won $100 betting $100 on a football game before. That's about it.
I think I've won like a couple hundred, in like a pool or something.
Yeah,
or
I'm not.
Like that was it.
I'm not a gambler at all. Not in the least. I've hit daily numbers a couple times. When I was a cab driver, it's impossible to be a cab driver and not play the numbers throughout the day. So when I hit a couple times on the numbers, dollar box, dollar straight. Here or there, and you only win like $90. It's not like it's, but I mean, $90 for
a bet the four-digit straight, you win a lot.
I only do three numbers. Four is hard. Four is hard.
Three's piece of cake.
Yeah. But you figure it's wow, I can't even believe it. Monty just left the room. I think he's upset with us for being amateur gamblers. But I've never really been a winner. Like I said, the only reason I did it is because I was told, "Oh, it's a bet, it's a lock, it's a done deal. There's no problem. There's no way you're gonna lose." So, all right, and I defied the odds. I'm that lucky rabbit's foot. I'm the goose that laid the.
Was that old man from A Bronx Tale behind you when?
Colagino went chasing after him right after it was done. Yeah, but so then, why I was asking, I brought up the whole thing of, do they get something for it? Because I was thinking maybe my cousin felt bad for the jockey and, was trying to get people to bet for him. Then I'm trying to think, is my cousin that much of a jerk? Which, by the way, my cousin, I probably haven't spoken to him in 15 years. He told, my aunt, who told my grandmother, who told my mother, who told me.
Maybe all that pressure on Ballymist after the word spread and he couldn't perform.
And I'm telling you, it was everywhere. It's really sorry, I'm just reading the chat.
Yeah, no.
Monty admitting to having a gambling addiction.
Okay.
But
I'm so glad that I never set up an account on one of those sports book or something like that. Even though I'm still not clear, I still think it's illegal to do that, right? Even though they're still going on, Golden Palace and all that stuff.
If they're offshore, it's legal. If it's not United States.
But you're not allowed to collect money in this country in certain states for gambling, no matter where the bet was placed.
You
wouldn't
be collecting in this country.
You set up an offshore account for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. But it's legal to transfer money from your offshore account.
Yeah, you can go wherever you want. You go on vacation to the Bahamas and bring cash with you if you want. It's just like you're coming home from the Bahamas with extra cash now. That's all it is. I did a decent in Atlantic City before. I've done decent in Atlantic City, but that's a different kind of gambling. I've done okay there.
That's so easy just to lose.
Oh yeah, very much. Oh, but I'm 9 times out of 10 I've come home a loser, but I've come home a couple grand up a few times.
I've never gone to the ATM thing. I've hardly ever gone there either, but I've never gone to the ATM. They have the ATMs and they have the credit card machines there where you can take a cash advance on your credit card.
By the way,
walking around handing you free alcohol.
I love that part. By the way, yes, Monty's asking in the chat room. Yes, there are phone calls. Say if you want to join in, and be part of the fun, you can call us here on the hotline 877-744-6405.
Mm-hmm.
Good, I never remember the number. Yeah, a couple of grand, Veal Chop. I've won a couple of grand. Hold on, we got him right off the bat here on Best Intro Radio. Hey, caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, it's Monty.
Hey,
I know I only got a minute, but I have to call in.
Absolutely, by all means.
You know, there was a thing I wanted to call you guys a while ago to tell you. Remember, I was going to say how this show saved my life, and I never talked about it.
Yeah. That was, we were actually supposed to talk about that for our 1-year anniversary. So we're going back, a good 4 or 5 months.
Right. Well, we'll talk about it now, and then you can edit it.
Oh, jeez, Louise.
No, you could edit it onto to the 1-year anniversary program.
Oh, okay, nice, perfect, excellent. We'll put it back in. It happened then. So, yeah, how exactly did Best in Show save your life? I'm assuming there's a gambling tie-in here.
Yes, there is. If for those who don't know me, I have a bit of a gambling problem, and for cereal, it's a bit of a problem where, I really can't control myself. And so what happened was when I started doing your show, I wasn't gambling when football started, but then you guys were doing I was giving you the one pick every week, right?
Right, exactly.
I'm sorry, I just woke up. I'm trying to collect my thoughts.
No, it's quite all right. You're doing fine.
And you guys are all talking about gambling. You get me all crazy. I wasn't gambling this year. I said I wasn't going to. And I was giving you guys one pick every week, and I was hitting every single week. Remember, I was like, Redonkey Lips number, like 10-1 or something.
Yeah, it was something pretty big. It was, you were, I don't know if it was quite 10 in a row, but I think you were like 7 out of 8 or something like that at one point. You did really well.
It was the first 6, and I don't know what happened after that.
Yeah, and I wasn't gambling on any of those, and it sucked. Like, I almost wished that I was losing every week. But so then I was like, wait a minute, since I'm winning, I might as well start betting on these.
Super.
So I would bet the one lock of the week and hit. And then I would always add another game and then start losing. And then before you know it, I'm betting a bunch of games. And then I started playing blackjack on the computer. And I would put in $100 and then I'd play blackjack. And I won like so much money. At one point, I won like $1,200 playing blackjack.
Sweet.
And so I cashed out the money. But, you know, they give you like 10 days before it goes back into your account.
Well, what do you
and
mean?
So I can't wait.
Well, explain to the non-internet gambling set. What do you mean? You get 10 days, so it goes back into your account.
Like once you deposit the money back into your checking account,
Okay.
It takes them 10 days before they transfer it in.
Okay.
And I can't sit there with $1,200 in my account just sitting there for 10 days
and not do something with
hence
it.
Hence the 10-day wait before they put it back into your account.
Right, so I went online and I lost the $1,200. And then they give you, Bodog gives you like a little bonus the more you play. And so I went on the next day, I was at work, and I had like $120 in there and started playing blackjack at work and managed to just win and win and win until I won about $1,600 while sitting at work.
Awesome.
This is where I had a little bit of a problem because my students are like sitting behind me, like rooting me on.
I was just about to say, I would think that at work means you're in a school, right?
Yeah. They're like, yo, Mr. Miller, is this real money? I'm like, no, it's fake. Leave me alone. I gotta win. So I won enough money that I called a friend and I was like, listen, you got to change my password. You got to go in. You got to change all my personal info. And I had a friend go in and change all my info so I couldn't get in there. And I still mad. You know, I was like being a crack addict. Like the next day I was like, I got to get in. I figured out a way to get her password.
Yeah,
and
just start a new account. That's all.
No, but I wanted to get that 1600 that I had.
You just play more to get the new 1600 that you're going to add to the old 1600.
So you zero is the new 1600.
So you could win more. So you could play more. So you could win more.
Well, I didn't do that. And I wound up losing the 1600 and then putting 200 in to win it back and losing that. Then putting 200 in to get that back and lost it. And then putting another 200 in and lost it. Like, it was like a ridiculous like 2 days where I lost like, you know, like $5,000. It was crazy. And then I started gambling on sports again and just lost so much.
I've got to be honest. You started this story by saying how we saved your life. I'm failing to see the saving part.
Well, I know, because it's getting, but the thing,
he used the 1600 for a kidney transplant.
Oh, perfect.
The bottom line is you guys started me on my path again to a horrible gambling addiction. And
glad we could help.
You're welcome. I guess.
No, but at the start of the new year, I had to quit. Like, it became too much. On New Year's Eve, I lost, like, another grand on football. It was awful. And that was it. I had to, like, admit that I have a huge gambling problem and I really can't control myself and had to, like, you know, kind of seek some sort of help for it. And that was it. And then I gave up gambling. So you guys saved my life by basically...
By getting you, really screwed up again and making you have to quit? That's the way we saved your life? That's the feel-good story of the year.
I remember one night being at a local, like, bar slash whatever kind of place. I won't say the name. I actually don't even remember what place it was, but... There was, like, some gambling going on downstairs.
Sports book in the back.
and I remember going downstairs, and Monty was sitting there with a bunch of people playing probably poker.
Oh, he was already there?
And then about... Yeah, and then... well, there was something going on upstairs, but then downstairs there was this game going on. And then...
Wait, a place, a bar where people that we know frequent, there's illegal gambling games going on?
I don't know if it's... I don't remember, number one, where it was. And if I did, I wouldn't say it anyway. But I really don't. And number two, I don't think it's a place that exists
Patrick's
anymore.
St. Patrick's Cathedral?
Yes. So when he comes upstairs... I just pointed out a Twin Peaks commercial to you. Sorry. When he comes upstairs... It's like 15 minutes later, and Monty comes upstairs counting just this, all this cash and says, "See you guys later."
Oh, awesome.
And I just envisioned, I remember thinking, what's going on downstairs right now?
You're talking about me.
Yes. Yes, I am.
I'm trying to figure out where this place is that I have gambling.
He's looking to go.
I gotta go there.
Gotta check them out.
You cleaned them all out already.
Well, you know, the thing was, once I quit gambling, I realized, like, how... I never really realized how much it affected my life, you know. I guess as much as with any other addiction, you know. But it was pretty brutal, and it just made it, like, a really big deal to have to stop.
Yeah, well, I'm...
And then I broke up with my girlfriend and put money on Phil Baroni.
Oh, no. Wait, you broke up with your girlfriend and put money on Phil Baroni? What is he? He's the New York badass Phil Baroni?
Yeah, but I haven't gambled in 6 months, and then I guess I fell off the wagon one night.
Oh, jeez. Well, speaking of Phil Baroni, let's. I want to jump into the other stuff. Is there any way that you're going to be sticking around today that I can get you to call in a little bit later to talk about the UFC?
Two phone calls and one dizzy.
Do you want us to call you?
Well, you guys don't do that.
Yeah, no, it would be very confusing. What
I was going to say, that would be great. If you guys could call me every Sunday, that would be great.
Hey, we could
just like to wake you up.
We could schedule
the show.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we could definitely make that happen. I'd be more than happy to do that. But today would be the worst day to do it because I'm the only person here doing studio stuff with Brian not here, and it'll totally confuse
me. This is like old school.
Old school, kicking it. Yeah. Why don't you call back like after like 12 o'clock or so, and we'll do a little talking about the UFC because I definitely desperately want to talk about last night's UFC stacked. But that's that comes a little bit later on in the program.
Okay. Goodbye, Goyle.
Ah, thanks, buddy. It's our buddy Monty checking in with us here.
I didn't watch UFC.
That's why I'm glad that he's going to call in.
I read two articles about it this morning on Yahoo Sports. I guess that counts in a way.
Absolutely. Just try and make it look like something's happening, so it's very transparent that I'm trying to get the satellite uplink going.
Oh, I thought you meant later on when we were talking about UFC, pretend that I watched it. I think I let that cat out of the bag.
No, you could do that too. You could do that too. It'll work out perfectly. Dee dee dee, hotty ho. Why is it not connecting? Session progress.
What's the matter with it?
Connected. Now it worked.
Oh, okay.
That was my way of being really really smooth and cool about it. No one knows anything about what's going on as I let things...
I prefer the sound of you saying, I'm trying to do this right now, than me trying to pretend that I'm talking about something like...
What about the sound of this? I see Donna walking up the street. She has a style that can't be beat for the Nesbitt Woods News Report. What, that wasn't good? Hey, Vanessa, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, kids.
Hey.
I was just trying to tell Monty that he should just drink beer, you know?
Yeah, I was noticing the conversation in the chat room that he should start drinking. It's a way less expensive.
$5,000 in beer in like a month.
You'd be hard pressed to do that. I drink my fair share, or I've been known to drink my fair share of beer. And $5,000 in a month, I don't think you could live through.
I mean, if you're gonna have like, you know, everybody's gotta have some kind of addiction, and this is the thing. Like, Monty doesn't do any of the other stuff, so then he falls into this bad gambling thing.
Yeah, I mean,
well, what's the average price of a case of beer?
A case?
Yeah.
A 12-pack or a 24? You're talking a full case?
Whatever.
A 12-pack is anywhere from, depending on your flavor of choice, it could be anywhere from $7 to like $20, depending on
what
you get.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I'd say the average professional drinker...
He's just starting out, though. I mean, you know, he could just drink like a couple beers and be good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, get a 6-pack of Meisterbrown and it'll last him a week. He'll be
Blatz.
Fine.
Oh, my grandmother used to drink Blatz.
I used to love Meisterbrown. It used to be $1.99 for a 6-pack when I used to drink it.
Oh, boy.
and worth not half of that.
High class.
Yeah. No, it's from Master Brewers. Come a Master Brew. Meisterbrown. That's what it said right on the container, how I knew. Yeah,
I don't like
awful.
Beer anyway, so I can imagine that.
Yeah, Meisterbrau was what we used to get when me and my buddy Larry, right after I graduated high school, we would go get a 6-pack of Meisterbrau and like an 1/8 ounce of pot, and we would go sit and smoke tons of pot and drink this 6-pack of beer and go crabbing. That's what we would do after I graduated after I graduated high school. This is how I was living the dream. That's what I would do, like a gentleman. But enough about me. So Vanessa, where are you today, buddy?
Well, I'm sweltering in the heat. I don't know about you guys. Actually, I know your studio is 1,000 degrees.
Nope. If you look on the new camera, I'm pointing right now at the air conditioner in the back of the room. Our room is frigid cold and delightful now. I love it.
Nice.
It's actually.
Well, you're gonna have to start doing a show every day for most of the day so you can stay in there.
Yeah, I'll
say. God is punishing us with weather again as the country swelters in record heat. This week, the East Coast will be receiving their dose of hell on earth with temperatures soaring into the upper 90s and humidity at a constant 800%. So what do you do when it's too hot to live? Well, I've compiled a heat wave survival list to get you through the most disgusting part of the summer. First off, do nothing. And I mean really nothing. Just sit there and sweat, preferably in front of an air conditioner or a fan. Even complaining about the heat will require effort, so communicate without words by adopting an expression that makes it obvious to anyone around you that you're profoundly unhappy. Don't go to work unless your job is air-conditioned and your house isn't. If you do decide to go in, don't work. You'll need to conserve your energy for when you have to go back to your sweatbox of a room, so just sit as close to the air-conditioning vents as possible and relax. Maybe look at the internet a little. Don't cook unless it's with a microwave. The conventional oven should be hermetically sealed from now until September. Better yet, don't even eat hot foods. Eat nothing but cold sandwiches and popsicles. Some people will advise you not to drink alcohol during a heat wave because it will dehydrate you. I disagree and say this is the exact type of thing alcohol was invented for. If you're going to be miserable, you might as well be drunk, so drink more than ever. Margaritas and ice-cold bottles of beer are good choices because you can rest the frosty glass up against your face. I mean, sips, and it's nice. Don't wear clothes. Nudity, however, brings up its own set of issues, as parts of your flesh press against other parts of your flesh and cause you to sweat more. I suggest wrapping your nude body lightly in a sheet and fastening it with clothespins. The thin cotton fabric will battle the moisture, and you can adjust to expose various parts of your body as the temperature requires. Don't exercise. For many of you, this won't be a problem, but just in case there are some overachievers out there, now is not the time to take up jogging. Don't allow any part of your body to touch any part of anyone else's body. Skin-on-skin contact is especially disgusting in a heat wave and to be strictly avoided. Fortunately, being sweaty, smelly, and red in the face all the time should make it even easier to refrain from human contact than usual. As tempting as it is to take cold showers, you might find that you feel hotter when you get out because your body raises its internal temperature in relation to the cold water. But water is a great way to battle heat, so I suggest bringing a child's wading pool into the house. Set it up in front of the TV, fill with cool water, and plop your fat ass in for the duration. And don't think. Thinking under these conditions will inevitably bring you to unpleasant topics. Unpleasant topics will cause distress and anxiety, which will rev up your heart rate and make you feel worse. So if you're plagued by worrisome thoughts, push them right out of your head with more beer. Follow these few but important tips for the next couple of weeks and strive to be as slack-jawed, mindless, and drunk as possible. If you're already on the right track, you're listening to Best in Show. And hotter than usual, I'm Vanessa Cheatwood.
Fantastic, fantastic. I will say some of my favorite things in the world with heat, and by some of, I mean one, is an ice-cold beer. not to say that I won't drink an ice cold beer when it's 20 degrees out too, but an ice cold beer. I love
hot toddies in the.
You know, my favorite is actually I didn't mention it in the report, but the vodka Slurpee. Man, that's good.
Vodka Slurpee is absolutely fantastic, and it's strange.
You gotta have a 7-Eleven in town, but if you do, a little vodka in there.
It's terrific. I was addicted to that for the longest time. When I first started to stop drinking beer and started going on my low carb thing, which obviously is going really well for me, but when I first did that, that was my first thing that I did, was I was having Crystal Light Slurpees with vodka in them. It was terrific.
Every night you'd call me from just to update me that you're on your way home from work and you're at 7-Eleven getting whatever flavor you were getting that night.
You don't usually have one flavor of Crystal Light. There's hardly any sugar-free ones. But yeah, I love that. And now I just make my own Crystal Light vodka. That's actually my beverage of choice today. But yesterday I was at the I went to the Bronx Zoo, and it was disgusting. It was like it was like 90 billion degrees yesterday, and yesterday I just read what Vielchop wrote in the room about a guy recycling his own urine, and it really just gnarled me out bad. I went to the Bronx Zoo yesterday, and they actually... I didn't think they would have beer there. I was, you know, just going to get my water.
They have beer at the Bronx
Zoo. They have beer at the Bronx Zoo. I was going up to get, you know, a nice ice-cold water, and then I see that they were selling Coors Lights there. So it's like, oh, fantastic. So I was drinking nice Coors Light, walking around the Bronx Zoo yesterday. It was terrific. And there really is not much better than that.
They sell beer there because no fathers would ever take their kids.
Hey, for the record, I just wanted to be known. I was taking my kid before I knew.
But now you'll go back.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm anxious to go back again.
But now you don't think it was a mistake.
Yeah, oh, it was terrific. It was a terrific beery day. That between that and the nachos with the plastic flavored cheese for nachos, it's my favorite stuff in the world. I was always a big fan of with the heat when you're dealing with hot disgustingness is bathing. I'm a big fan of just laying naked in a bath as much as you possibly can, which is
well. That's why I say bring in the kiddie pool, because then you can like sit there and be enjoying, you know, your other hobbies like watching television or movies or whatever. And just sit right there in a little waiting pool.
Yeah, a few years back when I used to, you know, when I still lived at my mom's house, like, you know, like maybe like 5-6 years ago, I at the beginning of football season got in the habit of that, of filling up the kiddie pool in the backyard and having the glass, you know, right by the glass door so I could look in and watch football on the TV. And I would sit in the kiddie pool with a beer in my hand watching football. It was terrific. That lasted for all of like 2 weeks because it was very inconvenient too, but it was fun for the moment that it lasted. Air conditioner, God bless it. Heat, love it. You know, the other big thing is that you should avoid, which we may not have mentioned, is vinyl seating. Stay away from anything plastic with heat. Love it.
Yep.
That's why I refuse. I won't ever get like leather seats in a car, because getting in a leather seated car in the heat is maybe the worst thing ever in the history
of
the world.
Hot car is probably
the worst.
Well,
if it's real leather, it's not as bad.
I wouldn't know. I've never owned a leather seated car.
Can you hear that? My neighbor is mowing the lawn.
Yeah, we could hear it. I'm just really gnarled out by hearing he squeezed the juice out of a pile of elephant dung and drank it. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. Man versus Wild, I believe, is what they're talking about here. It's maybe the worst thing I've ever, worst conversation I could ever hear. I didn't see one episode of it. I saw one like coming attraction where he drank his own sweat, and that was about all I needed to see of Man versus Wild. Why I have nothing else to do with this.
I'll never watch that show. I probably wouldn't watch it anyway, but now I really won't ever watch it.
Yeah, like I said, the fact that he's drinking poo and pee and sweat, doesn't really seem like a very good show.
That's awful. Listen, my next door neighbor, and I can tell you this because he won't ever hear this show, he's like a fat guy, right? You know, he's like a big guy. And
don't make
and
him
he's
a bad
got
person.
A skinny wife. You know, it's one of those situations you guys might know about.
Quite familiar with.
Yeah, but he's always out there, like, making us look bad by doing all kinds of yard work and stuff. And, I mean, it's really hot today already, and he's out there mowing the lawn.
Is he naked?
Yeah, he obviously didn't listen to he didn't listen to your report. He should have the clothespins or so safety pins.
Maybe
with a sheet around
yoga.
Him.
I hope not.
Hot.
I'm going to look right now because maybe he's wearing a toga. Like, I don't think he is. I think I can sit down.
More than likely he isn't.
Yeah.
Is he a friendly guy?
No.
Oh.
No, not at all. We're very much viewed as those, you know, those wackos on the block. Like, we don't have regular jobs. Like, we're self-employed, so we don't, you know, we're not pulling out of the driveway at, like, 7:30 a.m. like everybody else is.
Hey,
so.
Jim, do you get your paper today? Yeah. Let me bring this over to you. Oh, I'll meet you over at Dunkin' Donuts.
Sure.
I got coffee today.
Yeah. The neighbor drives a BMW, and I'm positive that there are many discussions that have happened between him and his wife. Like, what do those people do anyway?
They're running some kind of brothel out of there.
Yeah.
You're doing something right if you're living in the neighborhood where your neighbors have a BMW and they're questioning it. Good for you.
Yeah, but, like, we have the oldest house on the block. Like, our block was, I mean, our house was built in 1870.
I got news for you.
We're the ones who actually appreciate the, like, you know, the old charm of the houses in the neighborhood. And, like, he's got, like, you know, aluminum siding on his.
You're such a Staten Island guy.
I got no problem with aluminum siding.
Don't you think she should tear her house down and build 8 where it is?
If she put, yeah, seriously, you can get like 12 semi-detached right there, right in the same area. I'd love it. I don't hate aluminum siding. I don't hate it. I don't particularly have a.
I'm not saying that I hate it.
Right.
It's
no,
just that it would not be original for, you know,
no,
my 135-year-old house.
Yeah. No. And I don't disagree with you. No. I'm really more just addressing Keith there, that he's calling me a Staten Islander like that. I love aluminum siding. Yeah. No. I don't. You know. I would. Hey. I got no problem owning a townhouse. I'd like to get a little place in the town, in ye old town. I'd be a big fan of it. I want an ice pop now, to be quite honest. I'm really obsessively thinking about ice pops ever since this whole report's on. I'm tempted to run to the other room and leave you here alone to come in with 30 ice pops that I can just eat myself and not share one with you.
An ice pop eating
contest.
Ice
pops right now.
I totally have at least 40 ice pops in the freezer. Well, that's not even impressive, though. Like, eating 40
no.
ice pops.
We need to eat boxes of them. And I could eat boxes. I could eat 8 boxes of ice pops in 4 minutes.
Eating competition. Speaking of, your boy Kobayashi this week, arthritis jaw and all, went out like a champ. That was the other thing during my horse race.
Wait, I thought he withdrew. I thought he wasn't.
You know what? I think we reported that he was withdrawing.
Yeah, I heard it from you that he withdrew. And then when I read the.
that's what you get for getting your news from us.
I follow Joey Chestnut's career now. And I read that, you know.
Yeah.
That they had actually gone head to head.
Well, yeah, I was just gonna say that's what you get for using us as a news report. but apparently his jaw injury that he sustained did not cause him to pull out of the competition. And on the 4th of July, Kobayashi defended his 6-time title against the world record holder Joey Chestnut. And actually, while I was watching,
and Joey beat his record that he just set a couple months ago.
Exactly, yeah. While I was watching the horse race on One TV, we had the horse race on the 4th of July at the illustrious Chevy's on Highland Boulevard, and on the other TV they had the Nathan's hot dog eating competition. I was thinking I wanted to bet on
that
too.
Sounds like the best place ever.
And, you know, I really honestly was going to bet. I was saying, hey, we could probably bet on this hot dog stuff. He's like, hey, you definitely can, but like we would have needed like internet something from there. And I would have lost because I was going to bet on Kobayashi. Because I was convinced, you know, that the fix was in, that he never had a jaw injury. He was just doing that just so Joey Chestnut wouldn't train properly for it. And it didn't make any sort of difference. Joey Chestnut, although Kobayashi...
I don't think Joey Chestnut really needs the training at this point. I think he's like, he's in the zone. Like,
he's a natural.
Every record.
Well, he has more than the hot dog record.
Who does?
No, he did. He broke the world record, but it wasn't at the Nathan's. It was at the semifinals.
Yeah, he broke the world record a couple of weeks before that, which was like 62, I want to say. Because the thing was, I think Kobayashi's second place finish at the 4th of July would have broken the previous world record that he held. But, you know, Joey Chestnut came in with an alarming 67, I want to say. 67.
Yeah, it was like 66 and a bit or something.
Hold on,
new world record.
I actually wrote it down. 66 for Joey Chestnut, 63 for Kobayashi. Oh, God.
Hungry?
I'm sad that Brian isn't there today. A little respect for his donut eating.
Yeah,
that
you know what?
Awesome.
We didn't even say a word about that today. I really, honestly, I have to say I'm impressed with the kid. That he pulled off. I mean, he's still sick and home because of it, and that's why he's not here today. The donuts are just too much for him to handle. But, yeah, Brian...
Cholesterol level through the roof.
No. He drinks way too much to keep for his cholesterol to possibly be down. I mean, to be up. He did eat a dozen donuts last week, impressed the hell out of me because I attempted it myself, and I think I only got 7 in or 8 in. I was like a 7.5, I think, is where I had to bail. I personally couldn't do it, and somehow last week he pulled it off. Meanwhile, the week before, he couldn't eat 6 slices of pizza. You know, so I don't...
It took him a while to eat 4.
Yeah, I don't...
Well, no, he got 4 down, but after that, it was...
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, hey, you know what? You can't criticize a guy. You can't say a word about him. The fact is, I would go so far as to maybe call him the best in show eating champion at this point, if not...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, you did the pizza thing, and the pizza was also impressive, although I was a little bit disappointed that you didn't push it. You know, you finished your one pie, and you just, like, you let it go at that.
I coasted.
Talk about disappointed. What about the fact that I ate 7.5 slices and couldn't even finish the pie?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's your M.O. on all of
this. Wow. Yeah, that's okay. Don't you remember Idle Threat? That's your name. Everyone loves Idle Threat. But, yeah, I mean, I started gliding at that point. I coasted my way to victory after eating my full pie because I was in dramatic physical pain.
I would
pain.
Have liked to have seen you really show us what you can do.
I don't think I did much less than that. I maybe could have, you know, I you know, if you go back and listen to the show, which, by the way, you guys can go on to bestinshowradio.com and click on download. I don't think I did much less. I could have done much more than I did. I think maybe, you know, despite the fact that on the show I was saying, oh, I can keep going, I probably maybe could have done 2 more slices at best, and that would have been really injuring myself. I really almost died as it was. I wound up spending although I did eat some sausage and pork chops maybe an hour later.
I didn't eat the rest of the day.
Fine.
Yeah, no, like an hour and a half later, my mom came by with pork chops and sausage, and I ate.
And you ate them.
Yeah, well, I was hungry. It wasn't
like the pizza was breakfast.
It smelled good. Awesome.
You know what? I was at 6.5, and then I ate that last one to get to 7.5, and that was just it was horrible. It was cold, and Freddie was puking, and it was just like, it was bad news.
By the way, Veltrop is asking in the chat room about Brian's condition after the show last week. Brian spent probably the 45 minutes to an hour after the show laying on my living room couch, just watching TV, unable to move, while we were just like hanging out in the backyard, having a couple of drinks, relaxing, everyone smoking cigarettes, all the cool kids and whatnot. And what? Cigarettes are cool. We've discussed that before.
You don't still smoke cigarettes, do you?
No. I haven't had a cigarette. I've had like maybe.
I didn't think so.
I would say I've had 3 cigarettes in the past 5-10 years, maybe. Not 10 years, like 5 years.
I think I've gone like 2 years without one now. Not gone.
Dude, what are you talking about? We posed with cigarettes and smoked cigarettes like maybe a month and a half
you
ago.
It was so bad for me to smoke it too.
Yeah, you didn't smoke it. You just posed with it. But oh, I'm disappointed. Our new buddy Zola Vision just left the room. Hey, my grandboy left the room too. What in the hell?
Everybody keeps popping in and out, which means they must have some kind of issue going on with the chat room. But
either that or other appointments.
Wasn't doing anything bad for me.
Yeah, other appointments they had to get to. Who knows? But while we were doing, like I said, we were outside hanging out, having a couple of drinks, relaxing, and Brian just laid on my couch and just didn't do anything. He was hurting. He was definitely hurting. But, you know, like a true athlete, he pummeled his way through it, and he did it. And I would go so far as to say he's probably the new best in show eating champion. Although he did not defeat me in a head-to-head competition, he showed a lot more intestinal fortitude than I did.
You've each got, you know, your different specialties.
Oh, no, I'll take him in a donut competition any day. Any day. Laying it out there.
Yeah, I think you could beat him.
Laying it out on the line without even thinking twice about it. He did a dozen, I'll do a dozen and a half. I won't even think twice about it.
I won't be in any eating competition anytime soon because I'll probably die at this point.
This is really crazy. We were actually talking about this, Vanessa, before the show
today.
What
about a plain hamburger competition?
No. I'd like to eat. I still like to overeat. But I'm to the point now where like my stomach starts like somewhere just below my neck, and I can't walk to a store 2 blocks away without, you know, breathing heavy.
Yeah, Keith.
So I'm thinking eating contests probably aren't the way to go right now.
Keith has a hobby.
What about a drinking contest? What if you guys did like shot for shot?
I would.
That's probably not a good idea either.
One, when it's all said and done, I have a family that lives in this house. Two,
when it will be all said and done. Come on.
And two, when it's all said and done.
The show.
Two, when it's all said and done, there is no chance that anyone can come close to me on the show. You might have a chance against me, Vanessa, I think. But I don't believe... As long as... If we're talking liquor... Actually, you know what? You can drink liquor.
Yeah.
I would say that you had no chance
against me. I'd totally be willing to go, like, shot for shot, like... Gin or vodka?
What should we do during the Renaissance competition to make Veal Chop extra mad?
I banish ye from the Renaissance Fair.
No, but I got no, you know, I'm still thinking of myself as the beer guy that could drink beer at an alarming rate and no one could keep up with me.
Drink beer like that. I definitely can't drink beer.
But the thing is, actually, hard liquor wise, I think either one of you guys would be able to at probably not even hang with me. I might have a problem hanging with you guys. I'm a fairly amateur liquor drinker.
See, I don't know that I'm particularly proud to say so, but I think I have a horse in this race.
Great. I'm betting $2,000 on Vanessa. I got a tip.
Awesome. That's something to discuss. That's something.
The tip was from your wife. She said, "If you win, you're out."
This is something. This is something to take offline, and we need to discuss this.
Veal Chop's pointing out the 40-minute conversation about a possible mead contest. I gotta say, I don't know about Vanessa.
Why doesn't Veal Chop just come with us to the Renaissance Fair and just, you know, bygones?
I believe he lives in, like, Missouri. I think it might be a bit of a commute for him.
I think I could be. I don't know about Vanessa. I don't know what goes on up in. And I know she lives at the Renaissance Fair.
What
but
goes on?
I don't know what goes on in that house where no one leaves ever. But I think I could take you in a mead drinking contest. I wouldn't, because I'm never at this point in my life. I'm never getting into a
real
drinking
mead
contest.
Real mead, Chaucer's mead, Renaissance festival style, not your little sissy Polish mead that you get from your sissy liquor store up the street from you?
I've never had the real stuff.
Uh-huh. Oh, ho, ho.
French mead?
Oui, oui, monsieur pussycat. We need to discuss some things. We need to discuss some things, because we're gonna get it on. Not even show-related, just on a personal level, we need to go to the Renaissance Festival and drink mead like animals. Just the three of us, maybe. We go out, we go with...
I'm going this year. I don't know what you guys are doing, and I'm going to get off the phone in about 90 seconds before I get crucified.
Yeah, well, I said, well, this is not for the show.
But I'm going. Yeah. I'm definitely going. I went last year, and I'm going this year.
Like, well, that's what I'm saying. This, as a personal thing, we're going. We're getting drunk. It has nothing to do with the show. We won't worry about it. I would love for to enjoy some renaissance. But that's another story for another day. Vanessa, always, a fantastic report, fantastic time, and God bless. And that's when I should play this part that isn't on my MP3 player.
And you're right. My knees... The backs of my knees right now are touching, like, you know,
of
each other.
Skin versus
skin,
it's sweaty and gross.
Sweat,
it's horrible. Don't do that.
It is a little hot.
And this
here
is an air-conditioned room, too.
Here, I'm going to slide over to the other side of the room. I'm going to try and make the air conditioner go on higher while Vanessa hangs up. You do the 90210 theme song outro the way that you can best with your mouth. Ready, Mark, get set, go.
Do 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 do. I put the wrong one on, sorry.
Awesome. Hey, she did a fine job. Excellent stuff from Vanessa today here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, exclusively on TPX Radio, where you can get us on the hotline if you so choose, 877-744-6405. Get us on the instant messenger at Best in Show Chris or Best in Show Keith. Excuse me. Join us in the chat room. Go over to tpxradio.com, click on chat, or go to bestinshowradio.com. I got unbelievable gas right now that makes me feel like I'm going to throw up on myself.
Try not to.
Yeah, I'm going to try not to. Or go to bestintroradio.com, click on contact, click on chat.
Remember...
Whoa, there's a special Sam Adams beer that's 25% alcohol that you could buy for $100. And they had it on the Today Show. Sam Adams Utopias. I'm going to try one of those. Although I don't like a regular Sam Adams, the fact that there's a 25% alcohol beer, I'd be interested to know
how
what
old
it tastes
are you?
Like. What? You wouldn't try that?
No.
Why not? For a person...
Why are you looking to get effed up?
Whoa. For the record, 25% alcohol. I sit and drink vodka, which is far more percentage of alcohol than
that. But to just specifically drink something because of its alcohol content.
But it might be a delicious beer.
Well, there's no such thing. But
you don't like to try? You don't like to try things?
No.
Seriously, man, let's just try. As friends. Reaching over, touching, loving.
I'm going to go get some 14% crack.
Awesome. I'll be the first person to admit it. I definitely used to get Red Elephant malt liquor. It wasn't malt liquor. I think it was a lager. I used to buy Red Elephant because Red Elephant was 6% alcohol, so I would get it. Guess what? I drink to get drunk. Surprise. Surprise. I'm an alcoholic that likes to be drunk. Surprise. And so I would drink to get drunk.
To fight off the heat.
Well, obviously. I'm doing it just for temperature reasons. But, yeah, I would definitely like to try a Sam Adams Utopia. I got to find out if there's any of them any place in Staten Island. I'll bet probably not. There were only 8,000 bottles made. I'm going to guess I'm not going to get one on Staten Island, but I will be able to get one in the city, I'm sure.
Do you remember I brought up the Seven Wonders of the World? There was an internet contest to name the new Seven Wonders of the World.
Vaguely.
Since six of them were gone, and the only one left standing was,
the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yes. Well, anyway, they've named them now.
The new Seven Wonders of the World.
Are Brazil's Statue of Christ Redeemer, which I think might actually be the only one that was left.
Why is that a wonder of the world?
I don't know.
It's just a statue on a mountain.
Machu Picchu in Peru.
Okay.
Mexico's Chichen Itza. It's a pyramid.
Wait, what's the difference between Chichen Itza? Okay, I thought Chichen Itza was Machu Picchu. I get them confused. Okay.
Nope. The Great Wall of China.
Yeah, whatever.
Jordan's Petra.
Is she going to do a weather report? Is it going to be raining men? What is Jordan's Petra? What is that?
I don't know.
Way to go.
Was I supposed to know? I thought we just named things.
Yeah, no, we like lists.
And the last... The Great Pyramids of Giza were the only remaining one from the previous, and they're also included as well. And the Colosseum in Rome, and the Taj Mahal.
Okay, well,
there you go.
Those are some nice things.
Those are seven wonders of the world.
I find myself in sitting back in awe and wonder, looking at them.
Andre the Giant didn't make the list.
Well, he's not living anymore, dude. Andre the Giant's been dead for like 10 years.
Machu Picchu is alive.
But he's gone. Like, you can't find Andre the Giant right now. You'd have to dig him up to look for him.
Those are big bones. What would his bones look like? You think his bones look like normal human bones?
If you take his bones and put them in some sort of stew, you'd make the most delicious soup.
I wouldn't even know what normal human bones look like, but I bet his are all big and thick.
I thought you watched the Chiller Network all the time. You know all about bones.
It's true. I have seen Psycho.
Great. I don't know. I don't know anything about bones or.
Did you watch any of the Live Earth concerts?
No, I don't watch Live Earth. I have nothing to do with it. I mean, yes. Yes, it's my favorite. I'm a big fan of rock music. No, I watched the concert for Diana.
When was that?
It's on the 4th of July.
Who was there? Spice Girls, right?
I didn't really watch it, so I'm going to say Radiohead and the Beatles. It was super.
Well, obviously. Tell me something I don't know.
No, I do know that it was a big deal that it was on the 4th of July, and a lot of people got pissed at a lot of American artists that went to go play for this concert for Diana instead of doing something.
Why, they needed to be at Macy's Parade?
Instead of doing something for America. We're here for America.
I can see if they backed out of some kind of, you know.
By the way, in the chat room, Vanessa just gnarled herself out by saying, I'd love to see Andre's bones. And she's all gnarled out by it.
Well, not that. Oh, Melissa, I will take you to the world, heavyweight champion, championship of the world.
And it wasn't on the 4th of July, the Diana concert.
Today! Na, 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 today!
That's what Monty said, I don't know.
Had you
just lost a lot of money when you were watching it?
No, here's the thing. I read something in the paper about people complaining about all these American artists that left the United States for the Diana concert on the 4th of July. Maybe they just left to travel there for it? I don't know. But there was, I don't know, it was something stupid in the Post on page 6. What does Richard Johnson know? I don't know. But, so I take it all back. Lady Di, you're still alive.
I saw pictures of the two princes dancing at the concert.
You sexy motherfucker.
What?
I was singing a Prince song. Sorry.
Wasn't it like a Spin Doctor song called Two Princes?
Oh, Jesus Christ. If you adopt a pop-up-a-header, just go ahead now. God, I'm a big Spin Doctors fan.
So I watched the Live Earth concerts yesterday, and
boy, are my arms tired.
I don't know where to go with this. The Police Blade and Roger Waters.
Yeah, didn't they do this like a... Like, don't... I my patience.
They did Live 8 last year. That was different.
My patience has grown has expired for any of the big concert series.
Well, yeah, because it's, I don't care about like the fact that AFI was playing and Kanye West, who I'm sorry is horrible. I had to turn it off. And
okay, in all honesty, shut your microphone off and walk away, because Kanye West is maybe one of the. Not even okay. Maybe I'm not gonna go all time. He's definitely the best thing in rap right now. Kanye West is awesome.
It's fine. Live rap is bad, though.
Forever, ever, forever, ever, forever, ever, forever, ever. Nah, he's awesome. Kanye West is absolutely fantastic.
Well, he
awesome,
was pretty bad. As far as what I heard, I muted it quickly. Pharrell Williams was even worse.
You mean Pharrell,
so
my friend? Pharrell?
Is it Pharrell, really?
Yes.
Like Will?
Yeah, Pharrell's the high school around the corner from here. Pharrell's actually a dude.
Whatever, he spells his name with a PH.
Well, that's because he's fat.
Roger Waters had a bunch of little black kids on stage with him to sing the We Don't Need No Education part to show he's a man of the people.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, like I said, I after Live Aid, I don't really think I need any more like super concerts. I don't care about Nebworth.
Nebworth?
I don't care
You're
about...
not a big Nebworth guy?
I don't care about Farm Aid.
Farm Aid's horrible.
I don't care about...
what about the Amnesty concert that happened a year after Live Aid?
Wait, the Amnesty...
The Big Simple Minds closing. You didn't watch that?
I have no idea.
Simple
what
Minds and Peter Gabriel.
What was the... There was something... There was some sort of Tibetan concert that Bjork went crazy on that was awesome. I remember enjoying
I
that.
Actually went to a there Tibetan was a Freedom concert, but it wasn't like a televised event.
There was a movie about the Tibetan Freedom concert thing that I actually went to the premiere of, and Bjork was there. And I don't know how I got into this thing.
I don't remember Bjork playing when I went there. It was like 2 days. I know... I don't remember who played. I saw you two there. That's all I remember.
Awesome. Hands Across America is being mentioned in the chat room by our buddy Field Chop. Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan of any of that stuff. Nebworth. I'm trying to think what there was another one after that. Yeah, Live 8. Who cares?
Live 8 was stupid. Although Pink Floyd played
Woodstock,
for the first time. In
Woodstock
like,
2020.
You didn't watch
care.
Pink Floyd when they played at the Live 8 thing?
No, I watched them at Nebworth, and that was the last time.
No. Pink Floyd. Real Pink Floyd with Roger Waters.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I know. It makes a difference. It makes a difference if these old guys do something that they did 100 years ago. Whatever. Just
I don't know. So you won't go to a Smiths reunion?
No, it certainly won't. I wouldn't go to the Smiths the first time if
so
I was
So if Van
there.
Halen played yesterday, you wouldn't have turned it on?
Well, that's different. We're talking about a great, great, great group.
Sorry.
Phenomenal. And it won't be the real Van Halen because Michael Anthony's not involved. I'm not going to go to anything with Wolfgang playing bass. I'm done with you guys.
Did Michael Anthony die?
No, he quit the band.
Oh, so maybe he'll be around. Maybe he'll be back.
No, Wolfgang is in the band now. Now, three quarters of Van Halen has the name Van Halen now. Why would they let it go?
That's true. You know what? Disappointed me.
Forever, ever, forever, ever, forever, ever. That's not going to leave my head now.
It shouldn't leave your mouth.
Oh, sorry.
Duran Duran played yesterday. And Duran Duran reunited with all five members a couple years
Mass
ago.
Mass appeal, bestinshowradio.com. Simple Minds of Duran Duran.
Duran Duran's not popular.
I know the reflex.
I just went to see Back to the Future the other day, and there was a girl wearing a Duran Duran shirt.
Awesome.
They reunited with all five band members, and then yesterday they were playing, and I don't know, it was like two of them maybe, so I guess that didn't last long. I hate new guys. I hate the new guys in the band.
What, there are non-Rhodes? There's non-Labons and Rhodes
there was,
guys
there was
in the band?
Two, there was one Taylor and one...
Wait, isn't there a Rhodes?
Actually, I think there was just... There was Andy Taylor missing.
But isn't there a Rhodes in the band?
Nick Rhodes.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, he was there. And so was the drummer and the...
And Roger Waters, too?
Roger Waters was there as well, yes. And Shakira.
You're a big fan of Shakira, aren't you? I was looking on their website yesterday for no apparent reason other than I was looking for things to talk about on the show today, and I didn't have any interest, like I said. I don't, you know.
It wasn't bad. I watched way more of it than I thought. Mostly people I don't like, you know, Dave Matthews and
what would you say?
I sat and watched Madonna's performance for some reason.
You got to give Madonna some sort of credit for something, right?
Yeah, Desperately Seeking Susan.
No, that was absolutely the Arquette. That was Roseanne Arquette's vehicle.
Oh, Vanessa's saying how her Morrissey show was canceled this year, as was mine. I was supposed to see Morrissey Friday night at the PNC Bank Arts Center, but he's sick.
Wah. Do you get your money back at
least? But the good news is he has a song for his new album next year.
Do you get your money back?
You know what? My wife's cousin bought the tickets, and we were going to pay him when we went to the show, so I don't really know.
Your problem, sucker. But what happens when they do that? When if there's a
no, they refund the money. Yeah. Unless they immediately announce. I think even if they announce a makeup date, I don't think they can. They have to at least offer you a refund.
At the first Lollapalooza, Susie from Susie and the Banshees got sick, and she was not at one of the nights, which was the night that I was supposed to go to. She was not there that day.
Oh, you didn't go?
So no, I did go. But because she wasn't there, they offered not a refund, but they gave you tickets when they played in New York, like 6 months later.
Oh, for Susie and the Banshees when
yes.
they played?
Yes. To make
I would have been mad, because that's probably the only reason I might have gone to that first one.
The first Lollapalooza?
Yeah. Who else was there?
I've had this discussion a couple of times. Lollapalooza's 1 through 4, I all blur together. I can't tell
blur
who's
to
who.
You? 1 through 3, maybe.
Well, Jane's Addiction was the big one.
Wasn't it Porno for Pyros at that point?
No, Lollapalooza 1 was yeah. Jane's Addiction. That was like
so
the end
Porno
of Jane's
for
Addiction.
The next year, right?
Yeah, that was the end of the real Jane's Addiction before they came back with Flea a couple of years later, and then something else.
And did the Entourage like. Theme song.
I love those guys.
I know Nine Inch Nails were there and the Rollins Band. I didn't go to that one, though. There was another good band besides
Susie
and the
Banshees.
See, I
would swear that Rollins and Nine Inch Nails were the second one.
No, definitely not, because I went to that one. And I got my money back because that got rained out. But I saw Lush for free and Cypress Hill.
Sorry.
That was like...
I'm doing a Wikipedia search.
That was like Jesus
right
and
now.
Mary Chain.
Jesus and Mary Chain is definitely the second year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was, I know, and I think Soundgarden, Jam, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers were like the bad portion of the show. Chris Cornell was there doing yesterday, I guess, with the Chris Cornell band singing Black Hole Sun, that Soundgarden song.
There was like some rap rock connection at the first one too.
At the second one, it was Ice Cube, but it was actually the Lynch Mob, and Ice Cube was there with them, but they advertised it as Ice Cube.
Lollapalooza is an American musical festival featuring rock. That's the first sentence of Wikipedia. Jane's Addiction, Susie and the Banshees, Living Color. That was the rap rock connection that I was thinking
Living
of.
Living Color? Was that the first Lollapalooza? Really?
Yep. Nine Inch Nails, Ice-T and Body Count. That's really what it was.
Okay.
Butthole Surfers, Rollins Band, Violent Femmes, and Fishbone.
No. Fishbone was at the third one.
Okay,
and the Violent Femmes.
Okay, I'm
at
reading
the first
it. I'm reading it. Right.
You're reading it from Wikipedia, though. That person has no clue what they're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, I'm telling you that Fishbone was also at number 3. Fishbone was at the first one and the second.
They weren't part of the main advertiser. They might have been playing on like the second stage in some cities.
I don't think that that's true.
I guarantee you. I know.
I'm
nothing,
going according
I
to Wikipedia.
I know. I understand, and I have one of my professors graded one of my papers this week, and
wait, I just looked up at the chat room, and Mr. Zixter is complaining about a girl that we went to high school with that didn't pick him up to take him to Lollapalooza, and mentioning her first and last name. I love it.
Maybe she's on the way.
Yeah, dude, seriously, were you outside? Go outside now. She should be coming swinging by any minute.
In one of my classes, I got one of my papers back. He graded it, and he said, by the way, Wikipedia is not a good source to quote from. That pretty much sums the entire thing up. You doing a show with me? Or
I'm confused by the fact that George Clinton and P-Funk were supposedly at the fourth Lollapalooza, because I went to the fourth Lollapalooza, and I never saw a Parliament, and I would really, the P-Funk All-Stars.
I went to that.
Do you remember seeing Parliament there?
Yeah, it was so incredibly hot. It was at Randall's Island.
See, I didn't see it at Randall's Island. I saw the one in... It was in Jersey someplace where I went to.
Well, it was at... Yeah, it was at the Waterloo Park. That was when it was like Alice in Chains and Primus. That was I know the third one was like Rage Against the Machine and Fishbone and Front 242.
No, dude, that's the third one. You're talking about with Alice in Chains and Primus.
That's what I said.
But I'm trying to talk... What P-Funk was on at the fourth one.
Right, the fourth one was like Green Day.
Yeah, see I went to...
Let me see. Green Day, George Clinton, I'm not saying P-Funk.
Dude, Fushnikins played.
The Beastie Boys?
Dude, I don't think I went to the third...
Smashing Pumpkins, the Lemonheads, and the Beastie Boys, is that right?
Yeah, I don't think... Yeah, that's exactly it. I don't think I went to the fourth one. Because I didn't see the Beastie Boys or Smashing Pumpkins. I did see... I thought I saw a Tribe Called Quest, though. No, it was Arrested Development, so I don't know. I'm talking about what concerts I went to like a million years ago. Hi.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Yeah. Either way, I'm a big fan of Nebworth and Earth Day 2.
Live Earth was yesterday.
Any
Spinal
band?
Tap played,
any
but I didn't see that.
I saw Spinal Tap when they did their reunion, their first reunion, like 15 years ago.
But they played yesterday.
Oh. Was it good?
It was okay.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I didn't see it, though.
As long as we're talking about having vodka in Slurpees, have you gone to one of the new Simpsons-themed Quickie
No,
Marks
I haven't.
Yet?
But apparently they sold everything out, right?
I didn't go to the one on Staten Island. I was down in...
they did one of them on Staten Island actually did
Yeah,
it?
It's... Well, all they did... I mean, I didn't really look at it, but...
Didn't they change the signs to say Quickie Mart?
No. All they did is they put a poster up in front that has a picture of Homer or Chief Wiggum in the front of the store. And inside on the Slurpee machine, it now has a plastic facing that says Squishies. And that's
it.
That's really.
I thought Apu was going to be at each one.
Yeah, well, I mean, they basically are. But I went to one like in like mid South Jersey because I was working down that way, and I was just stopping to grab a drink on the way, and it was like, and as soon as I walked in, I was like, oh, awesome! So I wound up getting a squishy. Vanilla was the flavor. It was really disgusting. And I wound up. I didn't even realize they were selling products too. Like you can buy a box of Crustios. And you could buy Buzz Cola, which I was really psyched about, but I'm only psyched about it because I read it after the fact. When I was at the store, I wasn't looking for it. So I'm going to look for it tomorrow. Squishies. Quickie Mart. As long as we're talking about...
To answer the chat room.
What's happening?
Tribe Called Quest did play the Lollapalooza, the fourth one, but that wasn't with Pavement, Bjork, and Sonic Youth. See, I have a problem. I confused that Tibetan Freedom show you were talking about earlier with that... with. Some of the Lollapaloozas because it was both at Randall's Island. I know Pavement, Bjork, and Sonic Youth played that Tibetan Freedom show at Randall's Island. I don't actually remember them being...
I never saw Pavement.
I don't remember Pavement being on Lollapalooza.
I never saw Pavement, ever.
And I missed Pavement at the Tibetan Freedom show. Pavement and Radiohead and Porno for Pyros, the three bands I wanted to see, yes, I wanted to see them, came on first, and I got there late.
I did see Temple of the Dog play at the second Lollapalooza.
Hello.
Let's see what I'm getting here. You should answer your phone call. I'm being told that you should answer your phone calls via instant messenger. Yeah, so I don't know too much about these rock concerts. I'm not a tremendous fan of them. Don't really care too much about them. Magical things happening. Go do what you gotta do.
Monty?
Yeah, I want to get Monty to call in at any moment now so we can talk about the UFC because I'm going to be left alone here as Keith goes to address other issues. You know what? I'm fine. I'm flying by the seat of my pants. What do we got? What I really wanted to talk about was there was a... Oh, my God. I just rolled over my toe with my chair. Awesome. Thank you for saving the day, Monty. Coming and answering. Hey, you're on Best in Show. Who's this?
Hello!
Who? Joe?
Joe.
What's up, buddy? What's going on? So,
I just want to say, I got to apologize. When I called before, I really had just woken up. I feel like I gave a little bit too much information.
No. No one's even going to listen to the show. Don't even worry about it. No one cares about the fact that you had any sort of gambling issues ever in your life before. Wait, I just brought it up again, didn't I?
I thought maybe it might help someone who's, like, lost a little bit.
See?
But
see, you're reaching out. You're doing what you can for the people. You're trying to help. I think it's terrific. I think it's fantastic. No, you were. It was excellent. Don't even think twice about it.
I'm just saying. I felt. You know. I did kind of fall off. I'm just fighting because I'm home all summer, so I'm mad bored. But that's all.
No, don't be. Don't.
I'm
be.
Doing good. I'm doing good. It's like 6 months, 2 weeks. I've done it once or twice.
Awesome. Nothing wrong with
that's it. Well, okay, fighting.
And you said Phil Baroni was the last time that you did anything. That the most recent Phil Baroni fight, like maybe 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That
was good. I put that, but luckily he lost. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know who else should have lost? Last night at UFC Stacked, Minotaur Noguera. Could you explain to me? By the way, spoiler alert. Whoops, we're going to talk about the UFC now. Did you watch the event last night?
I did.
Okay. Here's what I want to say. The first thing I want to just throw out there. First of all, it was a stacked card, ironically, because it just so happened to have the name stacked. But we only got to see four or five of the fights on the air. For some reason, like a lot of the earlier fights, they didn't show.
It's the same. They only show five fights, and they have the three or four undercards that they don't show.
Yeah, but it didn't always used to be that way. I used to remember there being more fights than that in the past.
Hey, Monty, Keith here. I have a question for you about UFC. Are all girls really stupid, or just some of them?
Ouch.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. My question was about Tito Ortiz. What do you think of his hair?
It's cute. I guess that phone call didn't go exactly the way you wanted it to, huh? But it went exactly as you expected.
I called Madonna to ask her out.
I can't wait to know what really happens later. I seem to remember UFC cards having a lot more activity, a lot more fights in them. But maybe I don't know. I'm looking at things through rose-colored glasses. What do I know?
Thanks.
Well, the thing started last night with the long-awaited witty, as I learned how to stutter.
Jam on it.
The long-awaited debut of a Minotaur Nogueira, actually Rodrigo something whatever Nogueira, and I'm trying to understand what exactly is happening. I'm as bad as my horse racing, my horse gambling thing with the fix this week was. There's got to be some sort of fix going on in UFC, because if that was any other fight. When Nogueira got kicked in the face and fell to the ground and was getting bashed in the head over and over and over again, anybody else, that fight was stopped. Why was that fight not stopped last night?
That was by far the strangest fight I ever saw.
Dude, he got knocked out. He lost.
He got knocked out on the floor. They should have stopped the fight. But, and then even when Herring wanted him to stand up, I understand, because Nogueira is a great submission guy, especially on his back. I understand how he wants him to stand up. My problem is, the start of the second round, you come out and you just barrel over him because he could barely even stand. And instead of attacking him, you let him stand 90 seconds. I mean, you don't even engage with him at all. And, I mean, for 90 seconds before he did anything, and then he didn't do anything for another 45 seconds, and then you could tell Nogueira, like, getting his senses back at about 2.5 minutes before he starts pushing the action again. Because the first round, all he did was push, push, push. He came out the second round and stood still. His head wasn't moving. His legs weren't moving.
He
was just standing
there. He was done. He was absolutely done. I'm on a whole thing of I don't want to be the pessimist. I don't want to believe that my favorite sport, well, my second favorite sport, is going the way of boxing. It's totally fixed. But I am 100% convinced that after the Crow Cop knockout, you know, a couple months back, that there's some sort of fix in. I'm convinced, though, that only the referee was in on the fix. I don't think the fighters were in on it. And unfortunately for Nogueira, when he was knocked out and getting punched in the head, they wouldn't stop the fight for some reason.
Who did he lose to?
He didn't lose.
Oh, who did he beat?
It was Heath Herring, who's the guy who's most popularly known as the weird cowboy who got kissed by the Japanese fighter and knocked him out before the fight started a couple of years back. There's like a YouTube video circulating where he gets kissed and he punches the guy in the face. And he came and, you know, they brought him into the UFC because he had some sort of personality from that. And he got destroyed in his first fight. And then he beat one of the Ultimate Fighter guys. Brad Imes is one of the guys who wound up beating. He actually dominated Brad Imes pretty bad. But It was a weird fight, man. It was totally weird, and that's how the event started off. And it's kind of how I felt about the rest of the entire event, because the Nogueira fight, I think Nogueira should have lost that fight. He would have been knocked out by any other, if it was any other fighter other than the guy that they were trying to hype up as bringing, you know, the new thing that they're bringing in. I think that they would have stopped that fight.
I agree. I have noticed that with certain fighters, they have been giving a little extra time. Mm-hmm. Before they stopped the fight,
and that's 100% what they did with him last night. I don't know how the fight didn't stop. I don't have a problem with the way that Herring was fighting. I don't have a problem that he kept letting him stand up. I don't have a problem even that he didn't push the pace. He was scared. He was tentative. There's nothing wrong with that. I got no problem with that. I'm convinced that the referee was in on that, and the referee was not calling the fight for whatever reason. Because you know what? Later on in the same card, in a fight that probably should have been like the opener for the card, your best friend K-Flo, Kenny Florian. His fight got stopped when he did less damage to his opponent than was done to Nogueira in the first
fight.
That
was one of the articles I read this morning.
And it was
no, no, no.
And it was this, the same the referee.
No. He tapped. The other guy tapped.
Oh, you know what? I'm not thinking of that one. It wasn't that. It was, what was the one that got stopped by punches?
No, Kenny Florian. It didn't get stopped by punches. The guy tapped.
No, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't Kenny Florian. It was something else. It was another fight that ended that they stopped it early. It was the Silva fight, right? The Anderson Silva fight. That's what it was. Anderson Silva did not damage. Although you know what, Marquardt's head did bounce off the mat.
Oh no. Marquardt was rocked. He was rocked before that. In the referee's defense, Nogueira was at least defending himself with his hands. He wasn't catching anything, but at least he had his hands up. You know, when those guys went, I mean, the biggest thing is when their hands are at their side, which when Nogueira fell, his hands were at his side. But then at least he was able to pick them up.
It almost looked like it was like the nervous reaction, like when the instinctive reaction where the hands just go up, like when a guy goes into shock. That's what it looked like. It looked like, you know, if you remember, like years back when Tank Abbott knocked that guy out at like UFC 5 or 6, like where his arms just shot up in the air. That's what Nogueira looked like. He looked like he was done. I mean, and he was done. And I don't know why they let that fight continue.
Well, I really, you know, I don't have so much of a problem with the ref. My bigger problem is with Herring. Like it was almost like it was because, first of all, he threw a kick. I mean, a front kick. That's not going to knock anybody out. You know, he was just lucky that he caught him. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, if there's ever a fight where like a fighter's supposed to throw the fight, that was it last night, because he was like almost like he effed up by knocking him out. And then he was like, all right, I won't even go near you for the rest of the fight. Like, who does that?
I don't know. I'm going to rewatch it. I have it on TiVo. I'm going to rewatch it again today. I don't know if I feel that he was throwing it. I honestly think, because the fact of the matter is, up until that kick, he was getting beat up pretty good by Nogueira that first round. He was getting beat up pretty good, but he caught him.
And then watch the second round. Watch how slowly Nogueira gets his senses back. It takes about 2.5 minutes. And then watch how Herring does nothing.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, what fighter does that?
Yeah, I understand. I'm gonna watch it again. I'll watch it again today. Second fight of the night, Sean Sherk, the Muscle Shark, in one of the most ridiculous displays in the world, just destroyed Hermes Franca. Although he didn't knock him out.
Wow, I can't believe the Muscle Shark doesn't have the worst name in the fight.
Hermes Franca, you're not a big friend of Hermes Franca. He dominated him. He just put on a clinic that he just like ran around and just beat him. He never really hurt Franca, but he just exhausted him and wore him out, and his conditioning was just ridiculous. He was just a monster.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I could watch him for minutes. No, like a lot of minutes though, because I love Sean Sherk. Like, I know a lot of people were complaining about the fight and how boring it is and how bad he is for MMA, but I think he is awesome.
Fighter. Great fighter, put on a great clinic. It was, and the amazing part about it is he ate like 3 or 4 big knees to the face that would have knocked out a lesser man. And he was
gone. Yeah, I mean, I was trying to think last night, what's his weakness? I thought maybe his chin was his weakness, but clearly it's not.
Yeah, the dude got like a full knee, a knee full on straight in the face and didn't go down. Although I got to be honest, maybe he's the one I was thinking of, because at one point he went down pretty hard, and you know, a la Nogueira. And looked like he was done right in the first round, and he didn't go. It was a great fight. Shirk impressed me. That was by far the fight of the night, as far as I'm concerned. Because the thing is, it wasn't like Franca didn't do well, but he just didn't. I keep saying Nogueira because he's stuck in my head. It was he was outmatched. Yes, Bam Nogueira. I love that show, but he was outmatched. He was overmatched. What that fight did do for me, though, it made me hate Mike Goldberg more than anything in the entire world. Mike Goldberg is the announcer for one of the two announcers. Him and Joe Rogan do all the UFC stuff. And when the last round happened, during the last round, with 2.5 minutes left to the round, Goldberg was talking about how the fight was over already. And that really irritated me. It was very, to go to like an old WCW reference, it was very Tony Schiavone, like amateur, horrible announcer of him to call the fight well before the fight was over. Which, don't get me wrong, he was right in the long run, but Franca was still fighting at that point. He still was making attempts. Anything could happen. You know, you watch MMA for any not even any length of time. You watch it for a couple of weeks. You could see that anything can happen at any point. And 2.5 minutes left to the fight, he was already talking about, so what's next for Sean, you know, for Sean Sherk? It's like, dude, there's three, 2.5 to 3 minutes left in this fight. Stop. So he just irritated me. But
no, I agree. I remember him saying that.
Yeah, it was just like, stop it, dude. There's a fight going on. The fight after that was the big one. Oh, the one that I was excited about was Tito Ortiz versus Rashad Evans. Tito Ortiz.
This is what I read. Is that I read this morning about that? Is that the guy? I mean, not really the details of the fight, but that. Well, he said that the outcome was unfair, but he also said that that match made the main event. You know, that what he said is the crowd in the stands didn't care about the main event. That they were actually.
They were there
groups
for Tito.
And groups of people talking about the fight while the main event was going
all
on.
All the people cared.
Actually, some leaving, too.
Yeah, well, all people, I would say the majority of the people that came there last night, all they cared about was Tito Ortiz coming back anywhere. Tito Ortiz versus the Ultimate Fighter guy. Nate Marquardt versus Anderson Silva is not your marquee main event matchup, even though it's the title fight.
Oh, is that why it was the main event? Because it was a title fight?
People aren't going to care about that. You know, most people don't care about it. I mean, MMA fans would care about it. Although, I'll be quite honest, I'm not like, you know, I think I'm an MMA fan. Like, I know relatively nothing about Nate Marquardt, but I know just barely a little bit more about Anderson Silva, to be honest. I've seen him, you know, I've enjoyed him when I've watched him fight. But like I say, the average person, like dudes who are going to a fight, like they're not going to care. They care about Tito Ortiz. But
yeah, but they have to have the title. It has to be the main event because then it diminishes the value of the title.
Oh, agreed 100%. But I could see why the fans at the whatever Mandalay Bay or whatever the fight was last night, I don't even remember, why they wouldn't care about that, because Tito Ortiz is the personality. Tito Ortiz is the guy who was dating Jenna Jameson. He might still be. I don't even know. You know, he's the guy that's the personality. He's the old champion who's like coming in. And I've got to be honest, Tito Ortiz, his entire career, awesome. Tito Ortiz's entire career has been known as being the trained guy, the athlete, the guy who's conditioned, who's ready to go. Tito Ortiz was asleep in the third round. He was done.
Yeah.
He was exhausted. He was tired. It was very disappointing to me because Tito Ortiz is always like the guy. Like he was a cardiomaniac. He was a conditioning guy. And he would go, and he was always in championship fights. So he would go 5 rounds and not have a problem. He was done in the third round, and that's why I can't even say he lost the fight, because the fight ended in a draw. A draw. He had a point taken away from him in the second round, and it was just a draw. Boring, dull. I picked it as being the fight of the night. I was excited for it, and it was one of the worst things I ever watched in my life. It was boring, dull. I felt like I was watching Tim Sylvia. It was just a boring fight. There was nothing to it.
I wish I knew what that meant.
Tim Sylvia is the former heavyweight champion of the world who, watching his fights, was like watching the inside of your eyelids. He was just sleepy.
One of the most boring things I ever watched was with you. It was about 10 years ago. It was Royce Gracie. Was that his name? I know there's a bunch of them.
Royce Gracie. Yeah.
It was him fighting this other guy, and it was just the two of them. Like it was like two holds dragged across 45 minutes on the ground.
Yeah, but see, that's what MMA is.
It's, I know, I understand. It was just, but it was.
I love.
Me.
See,
and
I
then one of them got hit in the eye, and it swelled up like a watermelon on his face.
I see. I love stuff like that. I love. I could sit and watch jiu-jitsu. Like even more boring than mixed martial arts is just straight jiu-jitsu matches, and I sit and watch those on YouTube all the time. I love it. I mean, like nobodies with guys I have no idea who they are. I'll sit and watch. I watch. Awesome. That's what it is. Royce Gracie versus Sakuraba. It's 1 hour and 30 minutes as per Field Chef the Show. I don't remember it being quite that long, but it's probably is a 90-minute fight.
Yeah, it's 90 minutes. It's mad boring.
Yeah, but I could sit and watch that stuff. I love that stuff. I love watching
guys
fight for position.
I like when you talk about like baseball or football. I like low scoring games, and I watch soccer, so I can take low scoring. But for some reason, I just couldn't
low. You mean football?
Yes.
But that's not low action. It's just slowly fighting for position.
We all like defense. That's the one thing that the three of us have in common.
Defense. Defense.
Listen, let me tell you about this Tito match. First of all, I mean, Rashad was so, I don't know if he was just nervous about his fight, like him and all his herky-jerky moving, it was like really upsetting me. But, like, I thought it was all right. Like, you know, Tito won the first round decisively. I think he dominated the entire fight.
Absolutely.
And then I feel like once he got his point taken away, it was almost like it sucked the life out of him. He had to have known.
Oh,
that.
See, I want to tell you, I disagree, because when the point got taken away, he got so effing mad, and if it wasn't the end of the round, he would have choked Rashad out. He put him in a guillotine choke in the guard, and he had him. Even though there was an arm inside, he had an arm inside on him, he almost choked him out at the end of the second round. So he got pissed off at that point. Sorry.
Well, it could be that he was, it could have been he was upset about the point, or it could have been that he used all his energy up trying to get that choke. Because when he came out the third round, he had to have known that he had to win that round to win the fight. And he came out and did nothing. And I really think what lost the fight was he got slammed with 10 seconds left, and that's what lost the fight. Rashad didn't do anything for 14 minutes.
Yep.
And all of a sudden he slams him and he wins the fight.
Didn't win the fight, just didn't lose it. He lost the second round, he lost the first round, but because the point was taken away because Tito grabbed the fence in the second round, that's the draw. Yeah,
I don't know. I've never seen a point taken away for that before.
Let's go. I've heard it threatened before, but the guys usually don't do it after they get threatened with the point being taken away.
Okay, you want to talk about works in the UFC? How about the fact that Dana can't stand Tito? And do you think they would work on him to make him lose that fight?
I've got to be 100% honest with you. I think... although I do think that the fix may have been in on that fight too, I think it's because they want to build up a Tito Rashad too.
Is that a Monty Love poster behind your head?
That is a Monty Love poster behind Keith's head in the chat room.
Wow, that's exciting. I'm sorry. is that Brian Adams below me?
No, that would be Frankie Leathers, as you're talking about the chat room. Well, you guys got to check out the chat room every week so you know exactly what Monty is talking about. You get to see what's happening in the majestic studios of Best in Show as the show happens.
No,
it's nothing. We're being asked in the chat room by Vealchop if we know with Fedor, is he coming to UFC? Fedor, I want to say unquestionably the best heavyweight fighter in the world right now. And he is, but I mean, as you find out, if you're any sort of fan of the sport, you find out that there's no such thing as unquestionable. Anybody can get knocked out, and anything can happen to anybody. I do not believe that Fedor is coming in. I haven't seen any words about him. They're trying to keep if they're planning to keep any shell of pride left. I can't see them taking Fedor out of there. I think they'll just keep him for like the
Fedor. Fedor's not officially signed yet, but he'll be in the UFC before the end of the year.
You think?
There's no doubt about it.
You don't think he's staying with Bodog? He doesn't want to stick with Bodog fights?
He's not signed to anyone right now. He'll be in the UFC.
And then he'll be the heavyweight champion of the world. And who's he going to beat? Is he going to beat Gonzaga for the title? Is he going to be beating... or is he going to be beating, Randy Couture for the title?
Well, the heavyweight division right now is crazy because it's Couture versus Gonzaga next month, and then they have Crow Cop versus Congo, and the winner of Crow Cop Congo is going to get Nogueira, and most likely, I'm sure they already kind of have Fedor in the mix, especially since the fact that they're not giving the winner of the Congo Crow Cop fight the winner of the Gonzaga Couture fight. So there is something a little strange there that things aren't kind of working out that way. I mean, there's also that guy called Tim Sylvia who. He deserves a rematch. So, unless, I think maybe the best thing they could do if they bring Fedor in is do Fedor versus Sylvia, and then
eliminate Sylvia from the picture immediately.
yeah, and then do there's a lot of really interesting things going on now with the matchups that they can do. So it's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff in the UFC. What's up?
October 20th, they announced. You want to talk about, when Dana kind of wants things to go a certain way. Dana hates that Anderson Silva is the champ, especially the fact that he doesn't speak English. He's a hard guy to really promote the sport. I mean, Rich Franklin was his golden boy because, he's so handsome, he has those delicious shorts. And he's a great guy to go on TV all the time. So now they're doing October 20th is the Rich Franklin Anderson Silva rematch, and it's in Cincinnati, which is basically giving him a home field advantage. first fight. So.
And Rich Franklin is allowed to use brass knuckles during the fight, too.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, it's I got to be honest with you. I mean, I know we're a far ways away from it. Prediction, Anderson Silva, first-round knockout of Rich Franklin again.
God, I'll put money on it right now with you. I mean, not money, because I'll put friendship on the line.
Wait, so we won't be friends anymore?
If you win, we're not friends.
Okay, so your problem is the fact, I mean, you're willing to bet it just because you like Rich Franklin's Neapolitan ice cream shorts.
I do. You know what? I think maybe we should watch the fight together, and I'll buy a big box of Neapolitan ice cream.
I'll refuse to
eat it. We can eat it together.
I'll refuse to eat it, or if I do, I will just smother it with chocolate syrup because I'm a big fan of Anderson Silva. He's my chocolate dream. Awesome.
Ooh.
Vladimir Klitschko in another UFC fight broke his left middle finger last night and fought the whole fight.
Wait, who, in a UFC fight?
Yeah.
Klitschko didn't fight UFC.
Oh, I guess it was a boxing match then.
Yeah, he doesn't count. He's the heavyweight champion of the world, isn't he?
I don't know, but he fought with a broken left hand and won.
Yeah, good for him. He's a man. Big whoop. Klitschko.
Vladimir Klitschko.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, boxing.
Oh, so another exciting news. The Muscle Shark. You know who he's fighting next?
I would hope not K-Flo.
Not K-Flo.
The lightweight, probably the winner of the lightweight UFC, tough challenge, I'm assuming?
No. Come on. Big card.
BJ Penn?
Yeah!
BJ Penn will demolish the Muscle Shark.
No way.
And become the lightweight champion of the world. There we go. There's the next friendship wager.
Friendship, double or nothing. We'll either be great friends or really poor friends.
Awesome. I guarantee BJ Penn beats everybody. BJ Penn's the best unless he gets tired and doesn't want to fight.
I can't see anyone beating the Muscle Shark. I can't.
Well, you can. You can watch it. It's going to happen. He's going to fight against BJ Penn and you'll be able to watch it. Just like
we should watch that. Yeah, we should watch that fight together and we could get like Muscle Shark Sherbert. I don't know.
Muscle Shark Sherbert. Sounds delicious. Hey, I'm in. You're more than welcome to join, and we'll have a fantastic time. Monty, thank you so much for calling in a second time, buddy. I really I appreciate your insight into the Ultimate Fights and their fighting ultimately.
Monty, did we save your life with this phone call?
No. One more thing for Veal Chop. Rampage is fighting in September. He's fighting Dan Henderson, and it's for the UFC light heavyweight title only. None of the pride titles are on the line.
Awesome. Awesome. That's
all right, thank you guys. I'll see you next week.
That's
Don't
it,
gamble.
And by the way, Uriah Faber, come to the lightweight division?
Who?
I'm pleading to Uriah Faber to leave WEC and come to the lightweight division.
No, it's the other way. Jans Pulver's going down to...
To featherweight, you think?
Featherweight, and most likely we'll challenge Faber for the title, which would be amazing.
Awesome. We'll see what happens.
All right, man.
Excellent, buddy.
Thanks
so much. But you seem
sometimes it doesn't even seem like you're speaking words when I listen to those conversations.
What, Uriah Faber?
I mean, I understand that Jans Pulver is going down to featherweight. It's probably common knowledge at this point, but...
What? What's wrong with that?
I love if
by the way,
the day that me and Freddie talked about baseball for like 10 seconds, your response was, whatever, teams play sports.
What, and I do a 40-minute thing on MMA?
Come on.
But half the people have left the chat room at that time. I've totally destroyed the show by being obsessed
with
UFC.
It's a good thing our harshest critic, Veal Chop, enjoys UFC. I think he would tear you apart every week.
Awesome. Sorry. What do you want to talk about then? So, Mets, Yankees, big rivalry?
Played a combined 30 innings yesterday.
Did they win?
The Mets won, the Yankees lost.
You know what my favorite part about the Yankees is? A-Rod.
Why do you like him?
No, I just like him. No, A-Rod's wife this week showing up at the stadium wearing a white tank top with the words F-U, but not F, the full-on word.
Oh, yeah, she's such an ass.
Across the back of her shirt. Yeah, she's bad.
She's a jerk.
She's showing him.
No one should buy that shirt anyway.
You know why people shouldn't buy that shirt? $70 at, I'm trying to think what the name of the boutique is. I did write it down. Chrome Hearts, which is a fancy boutique on in Midtown Manhattan. That's what she bought. $70.
Why else they shouldn't? Because you look stupid.
No, dude, I got a really cool shirt that says F-U-U-F-N-F. Everyone thinks I'm cool as hell when I wear it.
Don't you have an F-C-U-K?
Obviously. I don't understand. I don't understand how people could buy a tank top that has, like, iron-on words on the back and somehow pay $70 to a boutique for it.
Your Alex Rodriguez's idiot wife, that's how.
Well, good for her. I'm glad. I'm happy. You know, in a slightly related story, she was doing it for A-Rod, VLChop said in the chat room. She was doing it for A-Rod. in an unrelated story, or I guess it is related, the next night a Post reporter actually showed up at the game wearing the same shirt and they wouldn't let her in the stands.
Really?
Yep. They threw her out of the stadium.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was wondering, too.
Yeah, it's bad. Like Michael Jackson, she's bad.
It's bad? I don't think it's like a big problem. I think his wife's just a jerk.
I think whatever. Her husband cheated on her. She's bummed. Whatever. It's the F.
How are my predictions doing?
Which ones are those?
My baseball predictions.
Have we
checked them?
Did you pick a team? What did you say? You said the Mariners were going all the way.
No, I wish I had them.
Against the Mets in a three-way dance with the Tigers.
I'll tell you exactly what I said. Go on.
Oh, sorry. I was going to jump into another story. I don't want to slide away from the sports ball. I want to actually really talk about the whole Scooter Libby thing. I teased at the beginning of the story. Is there something really just unbelievably wrong with the world that our president's allowed to tell his friends, "Nah, you don't have to go to jail. Don't worry about it"?
I'm surprised people were surprised. Like, what if his approval rating's going to drop? He don't care anymore.
But it's not. But I mean, like, but you don't have to, like. It's not even a matter of an approval rating.
It happens. Well. Well, here's the thing. He didn't pardon him, right? You can't do that until you're leaving.
Here's the thing, sorry.
I know why you hit the bell.
No, I'll do it again.
I know why you hit the bell.
You sure?
That's my favorite crutch. Here it is. Oh, come on. Does anyone even know what that is besides us in the room ever?
Nope.
Great. So, things go like this. My thoughts are...
No, come on. I actually want you to get to the point.
Doesn't every president do that when they leave? Like, they're going to pardon a bunch of people, and it's going to happen again. Clinton pardoned a bunch of people, and Ford pardoned Nixon.
Well, he didn't pardon him.
Ford got to pardon another president. No, I'm saying he's probably going to when he leaves office.
But he's not anywhere near leaving office. He's just commuting the sentence of his friend. It goes against.
So if you were president, you wouldn't commute my sentence?
No way. I would sentence you to death for jaywalking.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I'm not surprised. I don't know. It's not
a matter of being surprised.
Oh, that it's allowed, you're saying?
It's a matter of, shouldn't people be more outraged? That, like, the whole entire point of having a democratic, or sorry, a representative electoral government, it, like, our people, we're not supposed to be kings and queens, and people aren't supposed to have special rights or anything like that.
See, that's what the problem is.
But we should have a king? Yeah, it's insanity. People should be more outraged. They're like, oh yeah, he's our buddy. Don't worry about it. Yeah, what are you gonna do? What did he do? Oh, all he did was endanger the life of somebody for no reason by telling it to a news reporter that has more credibility than he does, that she was willing to go to jail for the whole thing. Not that I'm the world's biggest Judith Miller fan, but like, come on, man. So what
does commuting the sentence mean?
He doesn't have to serve. Time served. His 30.
But he didn't, like, reverse his.
No, he is guilty. He still has to pay like $250,000 or $500,000 in fines that he has to pay. But he doesn't have to serve the 30 months in jail that he was supposed to serve.
That's all he was sentenced to.
He serves
anyway?
No. Yeah, 30 months, I think.
Did he serve any of it?
Does not. Didn't serve day one of it. Didn't serve anything. He doesn't serve any jail time. He gets to endanger people's lives and not have to worry about it because his friend is the leader of the cool club. Stupid.
Brad Pitt commuted his sentence.
It just angers me. It just makes me mad. I would think that people would people would be more mad about it, but they're not. So no one cares. All people care about is the fact that Tommy Lee is dating Rod Stewart's daughter. That's important. That's what we're outraged about. We're worried about a 40-year-old dating a 26-year-old. Oh, God forbid.
She's gonna get herpes.
Good for her. She's like, I'm sure she doesn't have rape. He's going to get AIDS. care about that. We care about, yeah, as long as we're talking about, you know, the royals, like President Bush. Prince, bear with me as I try and pronounce, Prince Manavendra Singh Gohil of Rajpal, or something like that, India, was disowned by his family this week because he came out as being gay. Way to, way to be human. My phone's ringing in the other room. I hear my work phone ringing.
I'm not going to let you go answer that.
Good thing, because I'm not on call for work.
I'm not going to talk.
Good. I look for it. Yeah, but he was disowned by, well, we got a call coming in on the hottest of all lines. Hey, caller, you're on the air. What's this?
What's this?
What am who this? Hey, what's going on? It's our buddy Mr. Zixter.
No, it's Vito.
Oh, my God, you just sounded like Zixter to me. Crazy. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, I could tell that was Vito.
I swear to God, it sounded exactly like him, and I was assuming he was calling because it was a political story. My mistake. What's up, buddy?
Thank you, Keith, because I've known Chris for 13 years, and he still doesn't know my voice.
It's not that I still don't know your voice. I just I block things out. What's
just
up, buddy?
Just remember, we're talking to Vito now.
Do either of you watch The Daily Show?
No. With Jon Stewart?
A couple of times, not
I
very
watched
often.
It once, and Jury Duty.
Oh, really? Well, it was interesting because this week they were talking about how the vice president gets away with everything. Like, he shot his friend in the face, he got away with it. You know what I mean? And apparently this week,
Hold on a second, Vito. We got another call coming in. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Zombie.
Hey, Zombie, what's going on, buddy? I got you conference in with our buddy Vito, I hope.
Who's that?
We got Zombie on the air with you.
Yes.
Awesome. So,
Vito.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Zombie, how was church?
Well, the guy who gave the sermon was really annoying because every, like, sentence he go, it was annoying.
Wait, what does he do? Was it when he smacked his lips together? Or he blew kisses at you?
Yeah, it was weird. And it was a super long sermon, so I had to hear... about 4 million times. Annoying.
Now.
So in conclusion, in summation, what were your feelings about, what is the gospel about today, and what did it do? I totally forgot that we were going to do this. I forgot to make a theme for it.
Well, his smacking kind of distracted me, so I don't know.
So your love for the Lord has been clouded by the fact that a man has a problem with his mouth.
Isn't the sermon Jesus is thirsty?
Jesus is so parched. Could somebody give me a beverage? Because I am his representation in this room.
Can someone bring him some water? Because he will turn it into wine.
Oh my God, I'd love it. So,
Why is Vito a robot?
I don't know. Because there's some sort of craziness going on. I have no idea.
I think I had to leave now. I'm sorry. That was a really short call.
All right, buddy. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Don't be ashamed to be... I was just going to do a NAMBLA thing. Don't do it. I won't do it at all. Buddy, thanks for calling in. Don't even sweat it. Next week, sermons from the Serendipity.
I have a question. Why would your fans, who you've taught that religion is garbage, to listen to this?
I never said that religion is garbage, just stupid. I don't think it's no, and that's just me personally. I mean, our buddy Keith here is a devout Catholic. He loves Jesus. He's got no problem with it. I believe that Vanessa is I don't know if she wants me to explain her religion, but I don't know. She's a religious person. I mean, there's plenty
she's
of religious.
She's a devout Catholic as well. She's not a heathen.
Well, I understand, but she's not here to defend herself. I feel like I'm allowed to say what I want about you because I'm a jerk. Vito's a devout Catholic. Everyone else on the show...
I'm not a Catholic.
No, you're a devout Catholic,
No, you're a
Vito.
Devout Catholic, Vito. Don't stop it.
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah, Freddie loves...
Well, I have to go now.
Okay. All right, buddy. What I was in the middle of saying before Zombie hung up, there's Zombie, great report this week. The majority of our show are devout Catholics. It's only Brian and I that are the people that don't believe in the crazy nonsense science fiction story you do. Anyway, Vito, you were in the middle of something. What were you saying? Something about being a devout Catholic? Oh, I think Vito hung up accidentally, and now I got him back. Vito?
Here I am. Yep.
Sorry. I was actually talking a whole thing about you being a devout Catholic and wondering why you weren't answering.
Anyway, going back to what I was saying, I guess. They were saying on The Daily Show this week that the vice president is out of his mind and he now doesn't exist. Because if you look on Google Maps, you can see the White House.
That might be a wackier story than the devout Catholic story.
Yeah, it's true. Where did Congress stay? Like, just the Congress, right?
Heaven. They sit in heaven at the right hand of the Father.
Well, apparently the vice president's office is in some kind of naval building, and if you look it up on Google Maps, it's blurred out.
So that means he doesn't exist because Google Maps won't show a picture?
Well, I mean, there's got to be some reason, right? Like, I mean, is that how is it the White House and everything else can be visible, but he doesn't allow for anybody to know what the naval installation is?
Maybe,
you know,
because
what it looks like.
Maybe because he has a tendency to nude sunbathe in the backyard and he doesn't want anyone seeing that. Guy's got his rights.
Do you know the guy's first name? That should be your
dick.
Hey, come on. Shock jock.
Shock jock.
All I'm going to say is, so Vito, in summation, Scooter Libby, are you a fan?
What am I a fan of?
Exactly.
I didn't hear the question.
I know.
Third base.
Fantastic, buddy. Call in earlier next week so we can keep you on longer than 3 seconds at the end of the show.
That's okay. I'm going on the train right now.
Oh, I love Jesus.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I don't know what exactly happened towards the end of the show here. Everything got derailed and insane.
You think Zombie couldn't talk to us because his parents hate us?
Yeah, I don't know if it's
with such heathens.
I don't know if it has something to do with that or if it's just the fact that we went on our UFC thing for too long and his parents hate mixed martial arts. Thanks to everybody. Thanks everybody for being a part of Best in Show, Best in Show Radio. Thanks for sticking out with us for this nightmare of a program. Thanks to Vito, thanks to Zombie, thanks to Monty, thanks to Vanessa, thanks to my buddy Keith here, and thanks to me the most, because I'm honestly a really terrific human being. Anything else you want to say? In summation,
amen.
I thought you were going to say something about cocky socks and steamrollers. They roll over my face. I don't know about yours.
Amen.
Is now when I'm supposed to say best in showradio.com? We'll see you guys here next week.
No, now it is.
Hit the post.
Bye. Scooter. Is he 7 years old?
He scoots around. What's wrong? He's got places.
I thought his name was G. Gordon.
No, that's someone else.
So what did he do?
He makes the pastas in the can. Isn't that like Libby's pasta? Isn't that something?
Now who's Gordon Parks?
He plays bass for Blur? Wait, no, that's Graham something.
No, that's Alex James, actually.
Who's Graham? The guitar player?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all the same.
An axe is an axe.
Some guy axed his wife in the head this week.
Where?
Somewhere.
Probably right.
Is there a reason why we're continuing to do the show right now?
I wanted to know the Scooter answer. I guess we're not getting it this week. Do, but you hate yourself. Sometimes I hate myself too. Just look in my eyes and try to love you. Thank you.
I'm going to stop talking now. I feel kind of mad I talked over this song. Bye. When the yeah, we don't have the track though. I'm trying to find it here, see if I have it.
So what's up with Vito?
Seriously, he's honestly a